And good afternoon. Here we are back for another hour on the Now program. Scott Spears with you, and this is an hour you are not going to want to turn the dial for, because our guest is without question one of my favorite guests. He always makes me laugh, and a real laugh, not those phony baloney laughs that sometimes we all give when somebody says something that we think is funny. This person genuinely makes me laugh, and that's hard to do over the telephone. He's one of the greatest entertainers of all time, one of the greatest stand-up comedians. You probably remember him from the Johnny Carson Tonight Show and Ed Sullivan, oh my goodness, and the Hervé Villechaize story, which he's always kind enough to share with us, which genuinely makes me, I'm laughing just thinking about it. He is the absolute best, and since we spoke with him last time, he has turned 93 as of April, but you certainly would not know it. Let's open the floodgates for the King of Comedy. Genuinely, the most genuinely talented man I think I've ever had on this program when it comes to laughter, the legendary Shecky Green. Shecky, how you doing?
Well, I gotta tell you something. You'd never be able to tell that I'm 93. I tell you the truth. That's my voice now.
Well, we're off and running at 93.
Yeah, could I tell you something? Somebody said to me, how do you get to be 93? I said, past 92.
What did you do on your 93rd birthday?
I really did nothing. I have a group that I sit with on a Monday. We have a few guys for breakfast. We go to one of the hotels, and they have breakfast. And they bought a big cake, and the guy says to me, I had this cake for you made special. And it was beautiful, big chocolate cake. I took it home, and on the bottom it said, made at Sam's, at Sam's store, you know, from Walmart.
Well, maybe he thought of you when he went there. I don't know.
But anyway, Sam bakes a good cake.
Well, Shecky, it's interesting because 93, you know, we joke around a lot of aches and pains and things, but last night when we were booking you for this show, you were out at a restaurant having dinner.
Yeah, what I was meeting with some people, they want to name a street after me. I think an alley. I think all the streets are named already. And anyway, I had a meeting with these people, and my wife says, no, you don't want a street named after you. And then I think about these cars running over you all the time. What does a street do when you get run over? You go, oh, every car that passes by. I like to run over Frank Sinatra. I take my car on that.
Now, would this street be in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, that'd be good.
I want to know something, Scott. Listen, we figured I'm the last one. I'm 93. I am the last one that worked in the 50s in this town. I'm the only one left.
Well, that's a great thing.
Well, I don't know how great it is. You outlive other people if you can stand the pain in your knees and your back, and you know, and the stiff necks.
Now, for 93, you're in pretty good shape, though, aren't you?
For 93. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't play baseball anymore or basketball. Well, maybe basketball. I can make a free throw, but. I'm in pretty good shape.
Now you,
my voice is good, you know. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and your mind is still there?
I don't think my mind was there at the beginning. I think you want to know about my teachers?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm the only one. I was an honor student in kindergarten because I knew all the blocks. But I flunked first grade when it came to words. No.
Well,
I wonder if any kid ever flunked first grade.
I don't. I'm sure if you have.
No. I was brilliant in first grade. It wasn't until the third grade when we switched schools. We went from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, and the teacher, Mrs. O'Brien, was not too fond of me. She had an Irish accent, and I want to tell you something. You're a dummy. That's what you are. You're a dummy. So for about two years, I called myself Dummy Green.
Now, teachers of that era, now this would have been in the 30s, they're different than teachers now.
Well, I don't know how the teachers are now. I mean, but that's not, but I'm going to tell you something. I look back at it, the teachers that I had and everything else. I don't know whether it was because now the kids have got the things that they carry around, the telephones, and they got the electrical equipment and everything, the computers. We never had any of that stuff, you know. So basically, you had to use your brain. I mean, if you couldn't figure out a word, you looked up in a dictionary. You don't do that anymore, you know. What you do now, you call up a friend.
No.
You got two computers and everything, but you call a friend. Hey, Harry, how do you spell fictitious?
Now, Shecky, do you have a cell phone?
I got an old one. I don't have one of the smartphones. The only reason why I like the smartphones, I'm in it. So when you get my name, you see my picture, and it tells my history. And I go from store to store saying to people, you got a smartphone? Yeah, look me up. I do about 20 stores a day.
Well, you know, here's what we're all wondering, Shecky. Now, here you are in your 93rd year. Are you going to go perform somewhere just to get it done in the 93rd year?
No, you know what? I wherever I am, if I see a table of people, I go over and I kibitz and I make up a song about a little kid. If a kid is at the table, you know, you're a beautiful child. You drive me wild. Look at the eyes. They're awfully blue. I wish that I had a kid like you. I tell you what I'd do. I'd go from place to place making up these songs.
Well, you know, Shecky, it's interesting because at 93, you have to have a purpose. What is your purpose when you get up in the morning?
To make my wife happy.
There you go.
And my dog. Two people in my dog, very important. And wait, she's sleeping. Remember, does she bark all the time?
Yes.
Yeah, she's sleep. Oh, her ear went up. And my wife. It's so important that I make my wife happy. Because every time I make my wife happy, that's how happy I am.
Now, last time we spoke, I think your wife was recovering from some surgery. How's she doing?
Well, she went right now for a workout with the therapist. She goes awfully much to the therapist. I better check. Maybe I shouldn't make my wife that happy.
Well, when we spoke last, your wife, I think, was staying with her sister, so you were alone. How did that go, that time alone?
Well, no, it went good. I was with my dog and everything else. We ate together. My dog always begs for food, so I got a seat for her to sit by the table now. So we had dinner together, my dog and I. But my wife was quite over there quite a while. And my sister-in-law lost her dog, lost a little Yorkie, and she hasn't been the same, like she's having a nervous breakdown. So if there's anybody out there in Ohio, oh, please, if you got a Yorkie, 2, 3, 4 years old, you know, and you want to sell it or give it or anything, because she's going crazy, my sister-in-law.
Send it to the sister-in-law.
Well, my sister, I have to, in order to make her happy, I have to bark. So to remember, she reminds of the dog she had.
Well, this kind of brings us to what we were talking about before we went on the air. You told me you were compiling a list.
I want to tell you, Tim Conway just died, who was a good friend of mine, who was a wonderful comedian and a magnificent boy. I was very fond of Tim Conway. And Tim Conway did a lot for the jockeys. You know, he had a... Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, what happened? When the jockeys were injured and everything, he started a situation for them. We got money and stuff like that. He was just a good kid. And he and Harvey together were unbelievable. They would have... They're a throwback to the old burlesque comedians. You know, the stuff that they did.
Very funny, and of course, we also recently lost Doris Day.
We lost Doris Day, who I knew, but she was a very close friend with Kay Ballard, who was one of my best friends. And Kay did a show with Doris, you know. And Jerry Lewis died at that time, and it just goes down the line. It's frightening.
You know,
and what's funny, I know Ohio's not going to like this, but I was thinking about Trump. Trump keeps getting stronger and stronger, and Trump, who was not in the service, his father said he had a wart or something on his ankle, we're now in trouble with Iraq, Iran, China, North Korea, and all of Europe. So
it's an interesting world. You know, though, when I think about Tim Conway and Doris Day, who both passed away this week, they were both from Ohio.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
They were.
Kapelhoff was her name. I think Kapelhoff, I think it sounds German. But when she first came on the scene, she was so cute, you know.
Oh, you know, Doris Day, now, what sprung her to my mind was you were talking about dogs. She loved her animals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, we had that in common. And Kay had dogs. Well, anybody that has dogs has got to be a nice person. But everybody should have a dog.
Now, that type of...
I had two of them that were called wives at the beginning.
Well, you know, Doris...
Alimony, I paid alimony. I was no phony. I paid every month. They came, you see, to get it from me. Alimony. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting about Doris Day, though, because she was 97, and there was no bigger star than Doris Day. But for, like, the last 25 years, she just stepped away from everything.
No, let me tell you what happened to Doris Day, if you really... Doris worked, and she did a show television, and then they discovered about the husband swindling with the money. He and the accountant, and they broke her out. Did you know that? She was completely broke.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She was completely broke, and then they sued and everything, and they got some money back from the accountant, and Marty Melcher was her husband, you know. He even converted to her religion, whatever it was. She had some strange religion. And with the dogs, so that was her life, was the dogs. After the son, I think, died, Terry.
Yeah, I think that's right. And she lived up there in Carmel. Everybody knew that Doris Day lived in Carmel.
Yeah, well, I used to go up there before Clint took it over. He became the mayor and everything. Of Carmel.
Yeah.
And she became a sort of a recluse, other than the fact about the dogs and stuff like that, you know. But after the stealing with the money and everything, it sort of set her back. Now, I had that with my first two wives. All right, that's another joke. Oh, God.
Well,
I want to say in my accent, I married two ladies, it's true. Both of them were Gentiles. And I was a very poor Jew. What can I do, my friend? The money disappeared. But I want to tell you, okay. I do that for my people.
That's good. Who were the genuinely nice people in show business that stick out in your mind?
You know, that's a very interesting thing, because I was not like a Rickles or anything, because I really didn't associate with too many people. I was too involved with playing horses, you know? I had a different way of life and a different group of people that I wasn't around too many show people. But the show people that I was around were Mike Connors, who happened to be, who I just lost, look at that, and people like that. Joe Cirola, who used to do, did you know Joe Cirola?
No, I didn't know him.
Joe Cirola was a wonderful actor, and he did commercials on television. and I lost him, and that there was a lot of people. My ex-partner was a girl, an Irish girl by the name of Jeannie Caron, and for years I just loved her so much, and I just lost her. So I had a lot of great, wonderful show people friends, but there were a lot of people, but that happens in all businesses. You know, you find the good and the bad and the ugly. Oh, my God, what a wonderful title for the book.
No, it's
I'm crazy.
Is there anybody still around today, show people, that you associate with on a regular basis?
Isn't that funny? No. And there's a man that's in hospice right now that was my first partner. I don't know whether you ever heard of him. Sammy Shore.
Oh, yeah.
He worked with Presley. He was the opening act for Presley.
Mitzi Shore's husband.
Well, I got her to Comedy Store. Very few people. I just talked to the sons. They didn't even know. I got her what she had in Los Angeles, the Comedy Store. She called me, and she says to me, "Do you want to be my partner?" I said, "Why?" She says, I can't get the Comedy Store." She was just leasing at the time. I says, "Frank Sennis used to be my agent. That's the guy that owned it." I says, "And he's selling, I'll get it for you." And I got it for her. But I was never in it. Never went into the Comedy Store. And all of the guys came out of there. The Dave, what's his name? I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, Letterman.
Yeah, I don't even mention that name. He was not one of my favorites. I thought he was very good, but he just, there's something about him that just turned me off. And so I never sent a letter out. I would just call up. I never became a letterman. I am really trying, you know that, Scott?
It's good. It's good.
I'm really trying to make every joke a joke.
No, I just wonder, now that you have told the Shore boys that you helped get the Comedy Store for their mother, you know, there's still time. Have they invited you to perform?
No, I would not go in there. But you know what's funny? I don't know what the situation. They had a sister that also had the Comedy Store in San Diego. And I didn't even know until I called yesterday about Sammy that she died. So Mitzi died, and Sammy, this girl died. I mean, it was such a tragedy. So there's two things with the comedy and tragedy, right?
That is true.
So now, for all comedy, there's tragedy.
Now for Sam, with Sammy Shore, he was your partner. Now, how long did you two work together?
Not long. I'll tell you what happened. Sammy and I started at a place called Oakton Manor. It was outside of Milwaukee at Pewaukee Lake. And it really was Pewaukee Lake. That's what the kids used it for. So anyway, we worked together in this place. And then a lady wanted to become our manager and took us to New York. We're at the hotel. Just slipped my mind, a hotel, but doesn't make any difference. I can make up a better one, the Plaza. Anyway, I got sick.
The Wellington.
The what? My God.
Yes.
Did I tell you that before?
No, you never told me the whole story, but you told me about being sick at the Wellington once, and when we were in New York 2 years ago, we did shows from the Wellington, right next to Carnegie Hall.
Yes.
Yep.
I used to open my window and hear the soprano. And then I closed my door if I didn't like the aria. Anyway, I got sick and I asked him for water. He wouldn't come in and give me water.
Oh, no.
I said, "Sammy, I'm not feeling well. Could you please?" No, he says, "I can't come in. I once caught scarlet fever from a guy." I said, "I don't want to catch. I don't have any colors." "Come on in," he said. No, so that was it, you know. I got Bellman came up, he gave me water, and I teamed up with the Bellman.
Oh, God.
Why do you bring this stuff out in me? My God. I could do a whole act on the radio here.
That's good. You had told us that you were sick at the Wellington, and that stuck in my brain because we had done shows from there, but I never knew it was Sammy Shore who wouldn't get you a glass of water.
Wouldn't get me a glass of water.
Oh.
And he called me by my name, Sheldon. He says, Sheldon, I can't come in there, Sheldon. You know?
Well, when Sammy got out of the act and you got better and checked out of the Wellington, then did you go after another partner or did you... I'm solo.
No, that's funny. I got out of the show business. I registered for college again. And then Sammy had a partner who called me up and wanted to be my partner. So we became partners.
Well, that's good. At least it ended well.
Well, not really. Because as good as he was, he had a beautiful, beautiful voice. His name was Joe Shapiro. And Joe Shapiro or Sterling had a beautiful... And every time that, as I was moving up in show business, I said, come on with me, you know? And he said, no, I'm not ready yet. And for 30 years, he was never ready. And then I found out after my successful career that I wasn't really ready either.
Now, what's he doing nowadays?
Oh, he died.
Oh, did he? Did he ever?
You want to know something? You're talking to me. Anybody you mention, gone. Gone. My God. I called the mortuary yesterday, and the guy died, the funeral director. How do they bury a funeral director, my God? Well, who did they go to?
Oh, God. Well...
It costs me a lot, but there's one thing that I got. My own funeral director. I said, my wife was going to, it's not going to have me cremated. She's going to buy an, she's going to use an arsonist.
An arsonist. Just
she's going to save money with the cremation.
And then collect the insurance money.
Yeah.
There you go.
With insurance money. That went to the wayside, too. My God.
Oh,
that went on number 5 in the 4th race at Gulfstream.
Do you get to the track much?
What?
Do you still get to the track very much?
No, I don't go to the track. I go right across the street is a hotel, the Green Valley, and I go over and I play them over there. And we've been living here almost 5 years. I don't think I've had a winning day.
Well,
but I'm going to tell you the greatest story in the world.
All right.
Right now. I want you to listen to this, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. There's a little Down syndrome kid by the name of Jamie. Every Monday, I have breakfast with him, his dad, and a couple other guys. And Jamie, I'm really in love with Jamie. I mean, Jamie's like we're kindred spirits. Jamie always says to me, and he talks like Buddy Hackett out of sight of his mouth. You say, you know what? I said, what? You know what? And he's got me crazy with you know what. You know? So we keep on talking. So the Kentucky Derby's coming up. And I said, I take him. Listen, Scott, every time I'm with him, I play 3 Keno tickets. And I play the 3 Keno tickets. And then after we win or lose, then we go play one horse, because it's right in the same room. So we go, and I have him pick out a horse, and then we bet the horse. And we've been doing pretty good. Now the Kentucky Derby's coming up. And I call his mother, Mary Lou. I say, Mary Lou, do me a favor. Have him pick out a horse. Read out to Jamie, read out the horses, and have him pick out a horse. She says, he picked out Country House. You hearing this?
I'm hearing this.
I says, okay, he wants Country House. So the race comes, I go across the street, and the Country House is 60-1. As well, what the hell? I put $2 to place. $2, not to win, but to place. Instead of betting $2 across, like I normally would do, I just put $2 to place. Well, Country House comes in 2nd.
Mm.
But then they disqualified the winner.
Oh.
And Country House became the winner of the Kentucky Derby and paid $135.
Wow.
I had them only to place. So I had to pay them the $135. I had to tell him, he says, you know what? I said, yeah, you know what? You won, you know what? You know.
That's a great story.
That's a wonderful story. And I'm going to tell you, sir, I love this kid so much. I'm having T-shirts made up, you know what? he's something special. And you want to know, that's what I do. Is I've got my car loaded with toys. I go sometimes to the Goodwill and stuff, and I pack up with it, and I give wherever I see kids in restaurants or things, I go and I give them the toys and a little instrument, and that's my joy today.
Oh, this brings up an interesting subject. Last time we talked, you talked to us about the car accident you were in a few years ago, and your car has not shown up since then.
No.
Did it ever?
I was driving, and I was driving into the parking truck, I mean, and a guy came 100 miles an hour in a truck and hit me. And a guy was taking all the numbers and everything, and I thought it was a policeman. So I waited and waited, and this guy left, and so and so and so. And I says, what happened? I didn't get any information. He ended up, listen to this, I ended up no car, Lexus. I left it there. Somebody took it. I went around with no car, a $50,000 automobile. I wound up with no car. My insurers called and told me that the guy collected money from the accident. And I got nothing. So I just want to find this guy to give him one of my ex-wife's numbers, because they're both lucky.
So where is your Lexus?
Who knows? It's in Lexus heaven.
I guess. Was the car totally destroyed?
No, it was pretty, the motor was pretty well banged up, you know, but that's it. But so lucky that I had an older Cadillac around that still goes, makes a lot of noise, you know. People say, Shecky's coming down the street. Yeah, that's the Frank Sinatra street. He likes that.
Now you just had a birthday. Speaking of driving, did you have to go take the driver's test?
No, I have a friend there, a wonderful man that does everything, you know. When I have an accident and my car is all banged up, I take a picture and show him and say, what do you mean you won't give me a license? No, I got, you know, it's who you know. Now the governor, this governor got in, I know him. I met him through his two daughters. So I'll be able to make a little something there.
Well, how did this come about that you're going to have a street named after you?
Well, they name streets after everybody. Dean Martin's got it. Jerry Lewis has got it. Frank Sinatra's got it. They got the whole town has got it. But and they got people that you never heard of. Tom Glatzinghe. You know, well, not too many people knew Tom Glatzinghe.
But he's got a street.
But a lot of people go to that street just to find out who Tom Glatzinghe is. So they came and somebody says, you know, Shecky's been in this town so long, and they kept after me, and I said, no, 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 no. And finally, at 93, if they want to name a street after me, name a street after me.
So will there be a big ceremony? When is this happening?
No, I don't know, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know, because that'll be a big thing.
A guy from Chicago is calling Ohio to tell him about Las Vegas. That's a fact. He's getting a street, and people will meet. They'll have a okay.
Now, this reminds me. Now, back in the days when you were on Ed Sullivan, would he have imagined that one day a street would have been named after you?
Tonight, our show, ladies and gentlemen, I have a comedian here. He's a street. A lot of people know him as an entertainer, but I know him as a street. He's next to 1422 Sam's Boulevard. And here he is right now, my favorite street.
Well, you know, this all makes sense because a street will be named after you. You had the Green Room is named after you.
Well, I mean, we made it up that it was named after me after all the things I did with him. You know, Shecky, I can't have you on my show anymore. I want to tell you that you just don't make it. Said, Ed, you owe me five more shows. You're going to have to pay me. Shecky, you're back on the show.
Now, how many total appearances did you make on Ed Sullivan?
I think about 10.
About 10. Now, were you there in the early days or the late days?
No, it was the early days. I mean, no, he was right about that time, Scott, he was on 11 years. Because that's one of the shows that I did. I talked about being the German kid that came back to talk about his 11-year anniversary. I said, and I'm going to tell you something. Mr. Sullivan has been on television for 11 years, and there's a reason why. Because he doesn't do nothing. He don't sing. He don't dance. He don't tell jokes. He don't do nothing. And really, that's why he's been on 11 years. He didn't like that.
No, I bet he didn't. I bet.
No. No. He's you dirty rat. I've got more talent. He was a kick in the balladum.
Now, do you remember anything about your last appearance with him?
They were all my last appearances. Are you kidding? Every appearance I made was going to be the last.
But they kept calling.
You know what? Larry King, who's not one of my favorites, Larry King was so in love with Rickles that he took a dislike to me. But Larry King said to me one day, we were sitting having lunch, not talking to each other because we don't like each other, but we had lunch together. He says to me, you know something, Shecky? You stink on television.
Jeez.
Now, you could be kinder and say you're not good on television, but I checked some of my television things, and they weren't bad. I did one thing with Groucho Marx that was wonderful. It was called A Hollywood Palace.
Larry King said this to you over lunch?
Oh, yeah. He says, you stink on television. But he never saw me work in person either. And I'll tell you why he felt that way. I worked in Miami Beach, Florida at the Eden Rock. I worked for the boss that owned the Flamingo. And he owned... And they brought me in, and they had a storm in Florida, and he didn't put me where he told me, he signed me for the main room. He put me in a bar, and the bar was loaded with water, and when I touched anything electrical, I would get a shock. So I quit. So from that, it got all over Miami that I'm a temperamental, and I was this, and I was that, you know.
Now, did Larry ever invite you on his CNN show?
No. No, not when it's going on anyway, you know.
What was it? Was it good to have lunch with him?
Yeah, he never put his fork in my plate. I didn't like what he ordered anyway.
You know, he's going through some health issues right now himself.
You're kidding.
No, he's had, I think he had an angioplasty or something.
Oh, I got to call him and wish him the worst of luck.
Oh, God. Well.
You know what? I really am going to call him.
You should call. Yes, he's, I think he's out of the
hospital.
See,
he and I, we also sat together. We didn't talk to each other. We sat together at the racetrack.
He liked the horses.
But he really, I stunk on television. How could you possibly say that? But. You know.
Well, he was not the greatest, I don't think. I don't know where his talent judgment came down from.
You know, that's a wonderful thing. He wasn't a bad interviewer. It's funny. He got a lot of people that other people didn't get. But there was no talent with these people. That, you know, did he sing? I mean, talking about entertainment. I mean, the television brought him made a lot of stars. you know, at least Johnny Carson could do magic. Johnny Carson, you know, and there was a charm with Johnny Carson. And I guess Dave Letterman.
Now, you know what I was just thinking about? Of being a comedian of that era, and there aren't too many of these people left, did you ever work the Latin Quarter with Lou Walters?
Why, do you know the story?
Well, I just, you know, we're talking about Larry King, and for people who don't know, Lou Walters was Barbara Walters' father.
Yes.
Yes. So, did you ever play the Latin Quarter in New York?
Yes.
And how was that?
But you know there's a story there, right?
But I figured it'd be a good one to tie in with Larry King.
Well, I don't know what Larry King has to do with Lou Walters.
Well, Barbara Walters was Lou Walters' daughter, and she's
But what does Barbara Walters got to do with Larry King?
They both were interviewers who got people.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the tie-in I made there.
Well, you know, Barbara happens to be a very, very close friend of mine. She had a sister, I don't know, what do you call it? Jackie. And she had a little problem medically and everything else. And every time that I was there, I would take Jackie around with me. So Barbara got to like me a lot. Anyway, I went to work at the Latin Quarter in New York. Now, if you know my work, I'm not for the Latin Quarter. The Latin Quarter, the people get off the bus on a tour, they go in, they got their tickets, they go in, they sit, and the show goes on, it's wonderful, it's a regular show, and that's it. But I work personally, you know? I never really had an act, and whatever would come to me, and I'd make it up and everything else. So now, I go to work, and I go to put my props, but the piano is, where's the piano? The piano is up above and it's up there, but as what? And it's up above me. I said, oh, how do I get my props? Can't get your props. You call them and the piano player will throw it down to you. I said, okay. So now, opening night, they have a Polynesian number with the girls dancing and the rain comes down. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a star by the show, the comedian Shanky Green. I walk out and the rain is coming down, hitting me. And I'm going, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Bang, hit me in the eye. It's very nice to see you. And the people just got off the bus. You know those people that they came from all over?
Oh, yeah.
And this particular crowd, I think, came from Ethiopia. So now the rain is coming down and everything, and I walk off. Next show, same thing. And I go to do my act, and it's... They listen, they didn't listen, whatever the case may be. So now, Gene, the comedian, Gene Bayless, says to me, you know what? You got to put your act together. You got to have A, B, C. That's the way you got to work. You can't work the way you work. So we took a cardboard from a shirt, and we wrote out my act. I did the Chinese joke here. I did the song here. I did this, and that's what we did. And then I went over. But it was the Jewish holidays. And I went to the Latin Quarter bosses. Lou Walters wasn't there. Was the other guy, the other partner that he had. And he had a big, thick Jewish accent. I said to him, sir, it's a Jewish holiday. I didn't realize it. I says, I can't work on the Jewish holiday. He says, I want to tell you something. That's the greatest thing I ever heard from anybody, that you're going to take off for the Jewish holidays. God bless you. He says, you can take off, and I'll pay you the rest of the time. Shekela, you can come back anytime. I said, thank you. And can I have the rain machine? I quit in the middle of the show. Because I was never one for ABCD. So that was Lou Walters. Now, years later, Lou Walters was on his keister, and I got him a job at the Tropicana, Lou Walters. So that made up for me quitting the show.
But in all this, Barbara Walters was a nice woman.
You want to know something? I love Barbara Walters, and if anybody ever knocks in front of me, I'd kill him. Because Barbara Walters is a doll. She was so good to her family. She was so good to her sister. I know. She's a doll. She married a guy, let me tell you, they had the Westbury Music Fair in Long Island. And I worked for him. Lee Goober. And, well, they eventually got a divorce. But they adopted a kid. But Lee was he took a liking and had a Broadway show for me. Listen to this. And it was the most bizarre type of show. And I said, that's not for me. And then he called me, frightened. You're a fraidy cat. You're frightened to do a Broadway show. I wasn't frightened. I just don't want to do those things.
Well, you know, I think people in show business, have you found this, are all a little wacky?
Not a little wacky. I'm in show business and my brain exploded. I'm not the same as I used to be when I was just an ordinary person. I had sanity, but now that I've been telling jokes, I'm kind of crazy, you could see that. I want to tell you, okay, that's enough entertainment.
Well,
I look back at my career, because I really wasn't in show business. I worked to make my money and everything, but I never had the love that these people had with show business.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like a lot of people want to get in it, and then once they get in it and are successful, then they have this terrible fall. Like,
they start taking pills and drinking, and wait a minute, I started drinking too, now that I think about it.
And then Sammy Shore would not give you a drink of water.
Wouldn't give me a drink of water. That's before I drank alcohol.
At the Wellington Hotel.
It was at the Wellington, across from a delicatessen. Remember that?
Yes. It's a nice area.
There was the gate across, right directly across, and then there was the stage down the street.
And there's a subway entrance right there, too. So it's
right there, right at the Wellington.
Yeah, it's a whole area. It's a great area.
Yeah, because when I got drunk, I used to walk towards the Wellington and fall into the subway.
Well,
it's, you know what? In Jewish, we call meshuga. Remember that word.
Meshuga.
Let me tell you about that word, if anybody plays horses. In the book joint, and there's a horse called meshuga. So I tell all of these guys there, I says, this in Jewish, this means crazy. So I bet the horse. The horse wins and pays $40. Okay? The next week, my sugar's running again. So I buy everybody around me $2 tickets. There must have been 10 people. Because that's the way I am with them nuts anyway. So I give tickets to everybody. My sugar gets off dead last. As well, this horse is no longer Meshuga. He don't want to run. The horse comes in and beats everybody, and the horse pays $60. Everybody gets $2. They get $60. So that word Meshuga, I keep looking. The horse is dead now for about 4 years. I keep looking for that horse. He should come back.
Well, Shecky, before we part ways, do you have any big plans for the upcoming Memorial Day holiday?
I just want to do what I'm doing. I want to make my wife happy, who I adore, and my dog happy. And, wait, do I adore my dog more than my wife? Let me think about that a while. No, they're about even.
Shecky.
God, did I tell you, I look forward to talking to you, and you give me a life. I feel like I want to do something when I talk to you.
I love talking to you. You have the best time, and we're going to talk again soon. You stay well.
Goodbye, everybody in Ohio. I'm going to miss you, too. I love you there in Ohio. Remember me, I'm a Hebrew. Okay.
Thanks, Shecky.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Legendary Shecky Green. Now, don't forget, we've got the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 3:10 to 4 p.m. today, and Offbeat News with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and more coming up right after this. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
But this man, for whatever reason, has been allowed by the Republican voters and by the media to behave in a way that is appalling when it's not shocking. and when it's not disgusting. And so he will do whatever he does. He may stick to that teleprompter and deliver a very, very stiff, bad speech, but will want to break the teleprompter. He might